devotees like Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and so on were present. Then after the chanting, Mahaprabhu began to glorify Haridas Thakur as if he had many mouths. And as he described the transcendental attributes of Haridas Thakur, his happiness increased. And the devotees who were present were struck with wonder to hear of Haridas Thakur's glories. They all offered their obeisances to Haridas Thakur, who could not move now. He was just lying down. He was horizontal. Then Haridas Thakur requested Mahaprabhu to sit down in front of him. And he fixed his eyes upon him like two bumblebees on the lotus feet of the Lord. So now Haridas Thakur was setting the stage for his own departure from this world. So he requested Mahaprabhu, please sit down in front of me. And as Mahaprabhu sat down, Haridas Thakur fixed his gaze on the lotus face of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as bumblebees are fixed upon lotus flowers. Then he began to hold the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and placed it on his heart. And then he took the dust from the feet of all the devotees present and smeared it on his head. And then he began to chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, repeatedly. That was Mahaprabhu's sannyas name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And as he was chanting, he was gazing at the lotus face of Mahaprabhu, and tears of ecstasy were flowing down the eyes of Haridas Thakur. And while chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya and gazing at Mahaprabhu's lotus face, Haridas Thakur gave up his life air. And he departed from this world. And as everybody sat there looking at this whole extraordinary scene, they were all struck with wonder. They had never before seen such a departure from this world. And they all remembered the passing away of Bhishma from this world. I think all of you have heard about how Bhishma left his body. That, of course, is another narration in itself that will take a long time to narrate. But yes, Bhishma also had the benediction of Swachhanda Mrityu, which means that he would only die at a time and place of his choosing. Even before the battle began, a very interesting thing happened. Yudhishthira Maharaj left his chariot and walked across the space that was between the two armies of the Kauravas and Pandavas. And he started walking towards the Kaurava army. And everybody was aghast. Arjuna and Bhima, they were thinking, my God, what has happened? Has Yudhishthira Maharaj changed his mind? Is he not going to fight now? Why is he walking across? He's moving towards Bhishma. Then the warriors on the Kaurava side also felt the same. They said, oh, Yudhishthira has decided to not fight. He is kind of out of fear, decided to give up. Fie upon him, fie upon him. They started criticizing Yudhishthira Maharaj. But Yudhishthira was unperturbed. He just quietly kept walking and walking till he reached Bhishma's chariot. And everybody was watching him in complete stunned silence. What is Yudhishthira Maharaj going to do now? And Yudhishthira Maharaj offered his obeisances to Bhishma, who was like their grandfather. And he said, oh grandsire, please bless me so that I can begin the battle, so that I can fight you. And Bhishma said, I happily give you my blessings to fight me. In fact, if you hadn't asked for my blessing, I would have cursed you. But now you have come, I bless you heartily to fight me. Now I'm so pleased, I want to give you a benediction. Ask me, whatever you name. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj asked the question, how can you be killed? How will you die? This was the society of Kshatriyas. This was how life was. He didn't mean ill, but Bhishma was on the wrong side. And Yudhishthira was fighting on behalf of Krishna, for Dharma. It was Krishna's wish that Yudhishthira should be crowned the emperor of the world, so that Dharma would be established all over the world. And Bhishma sighed and said, that is not possible. No one can kill me. Only I can die out of my own sweet will. So please tell us the way in which you will die. What will make you die of your own sweet will? What's the way to do it? And Bhishma said, the time has not come for me to tell you that. Ask me after some days. And the battle was about to begin. Right? Then, anyway, Yudhishthira got that message, he got the blessings. Then he went to the other elders like Dronacharya, Kripacharya. He asked them for blessings and they all said the same thing. That because you've come here for blessings, we bless you that you may fight with us. Otherwise we would have cursed you because you didn't follow the etiquette. So then, days passed. Bhishma actually fell on day 10 of the battle. But before that, some other circumstances had arisen in the battle. We won't go into that for shortage of time. And that was when, at Yudhishthira's request, Bhishma revealed how he could be killed. Yudhishthira Maharaj went up to Bhishma and said, you had asked me to come to you after a few days to tell you how you can die, how we can ensure your death. And then he said, yes, only if Shikhandi comes in front of Arjuna, then I won't lift my bow and arrow. I will not contest. So anyways, that happened. So he gave the hint of how his death would come about. And then there's a whole great pastime of how Krishna lifted the chariot wheel and so on and so forth. And then Bhishma was, his back was full of arrows. His body was full of arrows. And he fell on the ground and the arrows became like a bed for him. And he lay there. But he didn't die. The battle went on for another 8 days. And Bhishma remained on the bed of arrows. And then the battle concluded. The Pandavas emerged victorious. And in great sorrow, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was beside himself with grief. He thought this entire massacre has happened because of me. And then he tried to speak with Krishna. Krishna pacified him. Actually, Krishna couldn't pacify him, I beg your pardon. Even Krishna could not give him solace. He was so inconsolable. And but Krishna had a plan. He said, come. He took him to Bhishma. Anyway, Yudhishthira Maharaj was planning to go to see Bhishma because Bhishma was still alive. Krishna wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to get last minute instructions from Bhishma. He didn't want Bhishma to leave till he had sufficiently instructed Yudhishthira about Raja Dharma, about the art of governance according to Dharma. He wanted to glorify his great devotee Bhishma in that way. And Bhishma also wanted to die looking at Krishna's lotus face. And this happened for almost 50 days. 50 days afterwards, the time came for Bhishma to leave the world. And Bhishma also requested Krishna to sit down in front of him. And after he had finished instructing Yudhishthira, for a long time, for many, many days, many, many intricate things, because Krishna had blessed him that he would not feel the pain of the arrows and that his memory and his intelligence would continue to be razor sharp. So whatever knowledge he had accumulated before by the grace of Ganga Devi, who was his mother, that would remain. So with great precision and eloquence and accuracy, Bhishma Dev imparted many, many instructions to King Yudhishthira. Finally, the time was over. he had to leave. And then he made Krishna sit down in front of him. And he offered his prayers to Krishna, his parting prayers. He glorified Krishna. Now he moved his mind away from all the matters of politics and governance and everything else. Now only Krishna. So he fixed his mind on Krishna, he fixed his glance on Krishna, and he started glorifying Krishna. And then after the glorification ceased, he continued to just be speechless, but was gazing at Krishna's face. And in that way, Bhishma left this world. He departed, his life has left the body. And everybody there was stunned in silence, just waiting. And they understood that now Bhishma has left. Even the birds were silent. Because there were so many dead bodies all around in the battlefield. There were birds cawing and making all sorts of noises. But at Bhishma's departure, everything fell silent. And Yudhishthira Maharaj and Arjuna, they were all overcome with emotion and grief because they loved Bhishma. Bhishma was like everything to them. He was the one who protected them when Duryodhana and others were trying to harass them in many ways. So Bhishma's departure was something very, very extraordinary. And all the devotees at the time of Haridas Thakur's departure remember this pastime. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally lifted the body of Haridas Thakur. All the devotees made a tumultuous noise chanting Hari and Krishna. And Mahaprabhu became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. He raised the body of Haridas Thakur and placed it on his lap. Then he began to dance in the courtyard in great ecstasy. So all the devotees also began to chant and dance in great ecstasy as Mahaprabhu held the transcendental body of Haridas Thakur. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started, he instructed his devotees to perform the last rituals that are necessary for a great devotee. They placed him on a carrier that resembled an airship, and Mahaprabhu and the devotees took Haridas Thakur's body to the sea. They bathed the body in the sea, and Mahaprabhu declared that from now on, the sea here is a holy place. It's a place of pilgrimage. Therefore, every time we go to Jagannath Puri, we always take bath in the sea. Because Mahaprabhu had declared, this is the holy place now. It's a place of pilgrimage. And then Haridas Thakur's body was brought back. And it was placed in Samadhi. The ground was dark and Haridas Thakur's body was placed there along with many, many items from the paraphernalia of Lord Jagannath, including the silken ropes and so on. And then it was covered over. An exalted devotee is not cremated. An exalted devotee is buried, and that's called a Samadhi. And that place is still there today. Many of you who visited Puri may have gone to the Samadhi tomb of Haridas Thakur. Our ISKCON center is very close to it, just across the street, basically. Bhakti Kuti, the place where Bhakti Vinod Thakur stayed. And then after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized a huge feast in honor of the passing away of Haridas Thakur. He personally went to all the shopkeepers who used to distribute Jagannath's Mahaprasadam and collected alms. And then huge amounts of Jagannath's Mahaprasadam were collected. And all the devotees gathered there. Mahaprabhu personally served and fed them. He fed them a lot of Mahaprasadam till they were filled to the necks. And loud chanting of the holy names was going on as the prasadam was being distributed. And people were remembering the glories of Srila Haridas Thakur. The feast was something extraordinary. Swarup Damodar took all the responsibility for organizing the distribution, for acquiring the Mahaprasadam from the shopkeepers and so on. And it was a festival to remember for all the devotees. And they all began to glorify Haridas Thakur as if they had many, many mouths. And such was the glorious passing away and departure of Haridas Thakur from his world, as described in brief by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Srila Haridas Thakur ki
jai.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Lord Premanande
Hare 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 Bol.
Hare Krishna. So now it's time for the arati. So we should reflect on the lives and the passing away of great devotees like Haridas Thakur. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.